Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow. Or where we are, high above the sky, or in the deepest ocean. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us.
罗马书第八三十八节到三十九节，因为我深信，无论是死是生，是天使是掌权的，是有能的，是现在的事，是将来的事，是高处的，是有能的，是将来的事，是低处的，是别的受造之物。都不能叫我们与神的爱隔绝，这爱是在我们的主基督耶稣里的。
Sorry, I don't normally speak with a mic to the kids. So you did a great job, boys and girls. You really did. I know you put in a lot of effort in practicing for today, and you know what?I know that you brought God a big smile when you led us in worship today. Now, today is a little bit different. Today, we have kids' church up here. So, not only is it special because you led us in worship, it's different because I'm teaching you from up here. But today, we also got to invite all the adults to come to kids' church. Now, since they couldn't all fit downstairs,they let us come up here. So what do you think about sitting in all these cushiony chairs rather than on the floor? You like it? Yeah? So we should come up here more often, eh? So now, this question is for the great ones and twos only. I still can't find my name tag. Who am I? Great ones and twos. Can you shout out my name?Very good. So hi, everyone. I am Auntie Lakshmi from Kids Church. So welcome to Kids Church today. So today you need to bring out the little kid inside you to hear what God wants to say to us. So let's start. Now, how many of you have a brick Bible for kids at home? Have anybody seen the pictures from the brick Bible?Yes? Yeah? So I know sometimes the teachers, I know I have, when we teach you, we like to use the brick Bible pictures because a lot of you guys like Lego. So one day when I was preparing the lesson for kids' church and using the brick Bible pictures, my kids told me, Mommy, you know that the person who made the brick Bible doesn't even believe in God?So that made me a bit curious, and I wanted to find out. So his name was Brendan Powell Smith. Now, he changed his name since then, but for now, we'll call him Brendan. Now, Brendan, like most of you, he was brought up in a Christian home. So he went to church every Sunday. He went to Sunday school every Sunday when he was a kid. And he loved building Lego. So when he was about 13, 14, he decided, you know, building Lego for kids. So I don't want to build Lego anymore. And believing in, sorry, I'm losing my voice. Believing in God, that's also for kids. And I don't want to do that anymore. So when he was a teenager, he decided he's not going to believe in God anymore. And when he was about 20, he went to college. And one day, he decided, I'm going to read the Bible from the beginning to the end. I'm going to read through the whole Bible. And then he made some decisions. He thought, you know what? I think most Christians have never even read the whole Bible. They just keep on reading the same stories again and again, and they keep reading the same verses again and again, the verses they like. They've never even read the whole Bible. Because if they read the whole Bible, they would see that the Bible is full of people that are doing bad, bad things. And if they read the whole Bible, they would know and see that God actually let bad, bad things happen to people. So, you know what? I'm going to go back to build the Lego. And I'm going to build the Bible in Lego so that maybe more people will read the whole Bible. And maybe they will come to see for themselves, you know, what God is like, this God they believe in. So now I understand, you know, whenever you see God in the Lego Bible, he looks pretty angry, doesn't he? Now I understand why. But, you know, it makes me a little bit sad when I read his story. Because whenever Auntie Lakshmi prays for you, I always pray that not only will you go to church when you are little, I pray that all your life you will know how much God loves you and that you will live your life telling other people how much God loves them. And then remember, we always talk about the Bible. Why do we want to read the Bible, boys and girls? Maybe this time the great threes and fours. Why do we want to read the Bible? Yes, God has something important to say to us. That's right. So how is it that Brendan read the whole Bible, but he didn't really hear what God wanted to say? So let's think about that. Can you read this? Come here. So if somebody said, come here, are you going to come? Yes, it depends on who it is. If a bully says to you, come here, are you going to come?
No.
No. But if it's your best bud or your BFF, are you going to come?
Yeah.
Yeah. If a stranger says to you, come here, are you going to come?
No.
But if somebody you love, somebody who loves you says, come here, are you going to come?
Yeah.
So it's the same word, boys and girls, same words, but we react differently, don't we? So, you see, when we read the Bible, you guys know, it's because we want to hear what God wants to say. So we need to understand, is this God a bully God? No. Is he a stranger God? Or is he our friend? Or is he somebody who loves us? Well, God tells us that in the Bible. See, when Audrey and Varick read to us from from Romans 8, 38 to 39, it says, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. You know, nothing is the same as not one thing, not one thing. You can't think of one single thing that can separate you from God's love. Death can't. Remember, we talked about that in last week's lesson. Our bodies, all of us, our bodies will die. But that doesn't separate us from God's love when we believe in him. And life can't. See, all of us are born, right? You guys told me that last week. We're all born. So when we're born, we live, but nothing in our life separates us from God's love. So, oops, pressed the wrong button. And the angels won't. You see, all around us are angels. We can't see them. But they love God and they serve God and they won't separate us from God's love. But God has enemies too. But the powers of hell itself cannot keep us from God's love. Remember you sang very powerfully, you said the powerful name of Jesus. God is so powerful that nothing can separate us from his love. What else? Our fears for today, our worries for tomorrow. You see, all of us are scared inside sometimes, whether you're kids or whether you're adults. All of us get worried sometimes about things that happen to us or to our families. But all of those things can't separate us from God's love either. Nor where we are, whether we're at church or at school, at home, or high above in the sky, or down in the deepest ocean, that can't separate us from God either. Because you know what? Nothing, not one thing can separate us from the love of God. And God shows us that by sending his son Jesus to die for us. So now, we know when we read the Bible, why do we want to read the Bible again? Yeah, God wants something important to say to us. So now we know that this God who has something important to say to us is a God who loves us a lot. Nothing can separate us from his love. So when we know that he is a God who loves us, we would hear the things he wants to say to us differently, right? So what does God want us to know about his love? Well, he wants us to know that he loves us lots and lots, no matter what we do. I wonder, how many of you remember this picture? You remember? This was back in July. How many of you remember who is at the top there, looking down? Nope, not Daniel. David, that's right, King David. King David was looking down. Now, let's remember this story. One evening, this is King David, got up from his bed, and he walked around the roof of the palace, and from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Ew! He is peeking at somebody taking a bath. Yuck, yuck, right? So here is King David doing something that he shouldn't be doing. Nobody should be looking at other people's private parts, right? So we shouldn't do that. That was something bad that he did. But he didn't stop there. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Uh-oh. Yeah. When you are a grown-up man, who is the only woman you can sleep with? Yes. And when you are a grown-up woman, who is the only man you can sleep with? Yeah. So is David Bathsheba's husband? No. Is Bathsheba David's wife? No. So that is bad number two, right? So David then sent the word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite," and send him. And so Joab sent him to David, and Uriah came to him, and David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, how the war was going. And in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. So here's Uriah. He's fighting hard for his king David. He had no idea that this king just slept with his wife. He had no clue, right? No clue. So Joab is the commander. He's the commander of the army. So King David asked for Uriah to come back, and he's chit-chatting with him. Oh, how's the war going? How's everybody? How's this and that? And he says, "You know what? I'm going to write a letter. You bring it to the commander." And Uriah thought, this is something really important. And he rushes back to his commander. "Well, King David has something that I need to show you." But in the letter, David had written, "Put Uriah out in the front where the fighting is the fiercest. Then withdraw from him so that he will be struck down and die." So David wanted Uriah dead. So now Joab had to obey, right? So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. Now, when you fight a war or you're in a battle, do you want to go where the defense is the strongest or the weakest?
The weakest.
The weakest, yeah. So why did Joab go and put Uriah where it's the strongest? that David told him to. Why do you think David wanted him to go? Yeah, so he wanted him dead. He wanted to marry his wife. That's right, you got that. So when the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. So when Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to him, to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. And the thing that David did really displeased the Lord. So now he got his wish. Uriah's dead. He got to take Uriah's wife. So we do see, boys and girls, when we read the Bible does show us that people do bad, bad things. So we see in this passage in 2 Samuel 11 that David did bad things. What was the first bad thing that he did? Somebody from this side. JJ. Yeah. Look at the woman taking a bath. And then what's the second thing? Yeah, but what was the second thing he did? Who has an answer yet? Let's try. Okay, go. Yeah. Yes, he slept with somebody that's not his wife. What's the third thing? Caleb. Well, not yet. Not yet. Before he murdered him. Remember he brought him back? He tricked him, right? He lied and he tricked him. And then he had him killed and married his wife. Now, why did God want to do that? Why did God want to show us all these bad things that David did? Why didn't God just stop in the Bible where, you know, here is David, he loves me so much and he trusted me. And, you know, here is David, he killed big Goliath, you know, because he trusted me. Or, you know, telling us that, oh, David had so much faith when Saul was trying to attack him, you know, he trusted me. Why did God want to tell us all these bad things that David did?
Because people might think that David didn't sin.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you guys are just so smart. God loves us so much no matter what we do. So God wanted to show us that even somebody like David sinned. Because he wants to remind us that all of us sin, all of us. You guys as kids, all of us as adults, people in the Bible times, people in our future, we all sin. And you know what? Because we sin, we couldn't be with God. So God said, you know what? I love them so much. Remember you sang the song, he didn't want heaven without us. So he brought heaven down. He brought Jesus down so that Jesus would take all our sins, right? So that we can believe in him and be with God forever. Now, why else does God want to show us that people do bad things? To remind us that he will always forgive us. How many of you have done bad things before? Notice how high my hand is. Up. Yeah. We've all done bad things. But you know what? Remember last week I was telling you that the Psalms were kind of like David's journal. And in Psalm 51, David is basically saying to God, after he did all those bad things, God, have mercy on me. Because you're so kind, would you forgive me? Do you think God forgave him?
Yes,
he most definitely did. When we are sorry, when we say sorry to God, does God forgive us? No, maybe. Do you think God forgive us?
Yes,
that's right. When we are sorry, God forgives us. Okay, why else does God want to show us that all these people do bad things? To remind us that nothing, not one thing, there is nothing you can do that will make him love you any less. Not one thing. So some people might be thinking, oh, but I can't tell anybody what I did. It's so bad. It is so, so bad. But you know what? God knows already, but he doesn't love you any less. Never. Okay, remember that, never. So what else do we want to learn about God's love? Well, God loves us lots and lots and lots, no matter what happens to us. So let's see if you guys remember who this is. Who is this guy with the colorful coat? Somebody on this side. Who is that? Yes, Joseph, that's right. Remember Joseph, his dad really, really loved him a lot. So his dad made him this special colorful coat. His brothers didn't get any, so they were kind of jealous. And then Joseph goes and tells his brother, oh, I had this dream. I had this dream that all of you are going to be bowing down to me. So that got them pretty angry, right? And so one day in this picture, his dad said, you know, your brothers have been out looking after the sheep for a while. Can you go and check that everything is okay? And he goes, oh, yeah, sure, Dad. And then his brothers see that he's coming. And they were still pretty angry at him. So when they saw him, they grabbed him, ripped off that beautiful jacket, and they threw him into a cistern. Now, a cistern is a place where they keep water, but there was no water in there. They just threw Joseph inside. You think he was scared?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty scared. So the brothers threw him in there, decided to have lunch and thinking about what to do with him, and then they saw that there were some Ishmaelite traders. So these are people that come and buy things from different people and bring them back to Egypt. And they said, aha, we can get rid of Joseph that way. We can just sell him. Let's just sell him. Then we'll be rid of him forever. And that's exactly what they did. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. You see at that top dot right there, Dothan? So that's where Joseph lives, right? And they brought him all the way down to Egypt, sold him as a slave in Egypt. You think Joseph was pretty scared?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was really scared. You think he was worried?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was pretty worried. So, but the Bible tells us, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his own personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. So what it's saying was that even though Joseph was so scared and, you know, he was being sold as a slave, God was with him. God was with him. And he worked hard for Potiphar. And because God was with him, everything he did, Potiphar really liked it. And Potiphar made him in charge. So even though something bad happened to him, he was a slave. Turned out pretty good, right? But not quite yet. You see, Potiphar had a wife. And Potiphar's wife noticed, oh, that Joseph, he's so handsome. He is so handsome. And these adults, right? You know, like, so Potiphar's wife says, oh, Joseph, Joseph, come sleep with me. Come sleep with me. Is Joseph her husband? No, no. And Joseph, that's exactly what Joseph said. No, you are my master's wife. I'm not going to do that. That would make God really upset. I'm not going to do that. And Joseph avoided her, tried to avoid her. But she's tricky. One day, when nobody was around, she grabbed Joseph. Oh, Joseph, sleep with me. Come sleep with me. And Joseph got so scared, Joseph ran off, right? Ran off. But she had grabbed his cloak, you see, and she was angry. She was angry that he refused. So when Potiphar came home, she goes, oh, this Hebrew slave that you got, you know what he did when nobody was around? He attacked me. Oh, you gotta do something about it. And Potiphar was very angry. He was very angry at Joseph, and he threw him into prison. So poor Joseph, another bad thing happened to him. It wasn't even his fault, right? It wasn't even his fault at all. But you know what the Bible tells us? It says the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and everything that happened in prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. So even though another bad thing happened to Joseph, he's thrown into prison, not even his fault, God was still with him. And the warden really trusted him because everything Joseph did was good, right? So God was with Joseph. And then one day the Pharaoh got angry. And then the Pharaoh threw his baker and his cupbearer into prison. And then Joseph knew that they were pretty upset one night because they had this dream they couldn't interpret. So he asked God to help him tell them what their dreams meant. And for the cupbearer, he said, oh, your dream is good news. In 3 days, the Pharaoh is going to let you out. You're going to come out of prison, and you're going to be made the chief cupbearer. But please, can you remember when you see the Pharaoh? Can you tell him that I'm actually a Hebrew from far, far away? I was kidnapped and I sold as a slave. And then, you know what? I worked hard for my master, but out of nothing that I did, somebody lied and I got thrown into prison. Please, would you remember to tell the Pharaoh so that he can get me out of prison? And the cupbearer said, oh yeah, for sure, man. I'm going to do that when I get out of prison. So, you know what? 3 days later, the cupbearer got out of prison and he was serving the Pharaoh as a chief cupbearer. But guess what? Forgot all about Joseph. Joseph was left in prison for another 2 years. So when we read the Bible, it is true. We see bad things happening to people, even people who believe in God. So when we read the story about Joseph, we see lots of bad things happening to him. He was just trying to obey his dad, right, to go look for his brothers. And then his brothers got mad and captured him, threw him down into that cistern. And not only that, they went and sold him off as a slave far, far away from his home. And then he worked hard for his master, but guess what? He's thrown into prison just because somebody lied. And then even though he helped the cupbearer to interpret the dream, cupbearer forgot all about him, and he was left in prison for another 2 years. Now, why would God want to tell us that bad things can happen to people, even to people who believe and love God? Anyone? Why do you think that?
Because he doesn't want us to
take him for granted. Yeah, that could be it. He doesn't want us to take him for granted. What else? Do bad things happen to us? Yeah, sometimes bad things can happen to us. So God wants us to remember that he loves us lots and lots and lots, no matter what happens. See, when he shows us that these bad things can happen to people in the Bible, people who believe in him, he wants us to remember that when we live on earth, there are times when bad things can happen to us. Do you remember our lesson from last week? While on earth, there is a time for everything. There are happy times and there are
sad
times, right? Remember, there is a time when we're sad. There are times when we weep. Do you think Joseph went through sad times? Yeah. Do you think that he also went through times of weeping? Yeah, he sure did. So God also wants to show us that bad things can happen to people to remind us that he will never, ever leave us, even when bad times happen to us. You see, it doesn't feel like it, right? I bet you when he was in the cistern, maybe he didn't really feel like God was there. And I bet you when he was going along in the wagon, you know, tied up, being sold as a slave, I bet you he didn't really feel like God was there. And I bet you when he was tied up and all these people were coming to look at him to see which one of them are going to pick him as a slave, I bet you he didn't really feel like God was there with him. And when he was, you know, being working hard and then, you know, he gets thrown into prison out of nothing that he did, I bet you he didn't really feel like God was there. So you know what? God tells us in the Bible very specifically, God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph, whether he was being sold as a slave or whether he was in prison. It says God showed him his faithful love. Faithful means when God says something, God always keeps his promise. So when God says he loves us, he always loves us. When God says he's there with us, he is there with us. He always keeps his promise. So we know God was with Joseph throughout all these bad times. So when we go through hard times, we can know that God is also with us. So another reason God wants to show us that these bad things can happen to people is to remind us that he always has a good plan and purpose for us. You see, Joseph got forgotten by the chief cupbearer for 2 years. But one day, the Pharaoh had a bad dream, right? And the Pharaoh, nobody could interpret his dream. And then the chief cupbearer, it's like a light bulb moment. Oh yeah, there was this dude in prison. You know what? He interprets dreams. His God helps him interpret dreams. I think you should get him. And then the Pharaoh got him. And then the Pharaoh, he helped interpret the Pharaoh's dream, and he helped the Pharaoh set up everything in Egypt so that Egypt did not have to go through famine. Now, he was made in charge of the whole Egypt after all these bad times, and he even got to see his brother and his old dad again. And then when he saw his brothers, he actually said, "You intended to harm me, but God, he intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people." So did God make Joseph's brothers do bad things, like throw him in the well and then sell him? Did God do that?
Maybe. What?
You think so? Did God make people sin?
Maybe.
I don't think so. I think that's our choice. So those are the brothers' choice. They made some bad, bad choices to sin. Remember, people do bad things, right? But even though people did bad things, like Potiphar's wife, did God make her lie?
No,
she did bad things. She lied, right? She did something bad. And poor Joseph, because other people did these bad things happened to him. But you see, what it's telling us here is that even though other people can do bad things and it can hurt us and it can make us in a bad spot and we can go through hard times, God, because he loves us so much, he can still turn it all around so that it is for our good. Because at no time is God's love separate from you. Even when we go through hard times, right? God is there and God plans something good for your life. So God also wants to show us that bad things can happen to people to remind us that very good. Nothing, not one thing. So remember in our verse, we talked about fears for today, worries about tomorrow. Do you think Joseph had some fears when he was going through these bad times?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he had some pretty major fears. You think he was worried? You think he was worried that he was far, far away from home? You think he was worried about whose slave he's going to be? You think he was worried about whether he was ever going to get out of prison?
Yes.
I think so. But see, God wants to tell us that even all these fears, all the fears that we as kids, as adults could be having about what's going on in our lives, all the worries that we may have today about what's going to happen tomorrow, see, God loves us. All of that doesn't separate us from God's love. So, to end off, I want all of us, little kids, big kids, to all read together. Slowly, okay? "For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are high above the sky, or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. So remember, boys and girls, all of us sin, but God loves us so much. Remember your song when you were singing? Our sins are great, but God's love is greater, because God wanted to bring heaven down. God wants us to believe in Jesus so that we can all have his love. So, what are the points I want you to remember? God loves us lots and lots, no matter what we do, no matter what happens to us. Because why? Okay, would you bow your heads and let's pray together? Father God, thank you for using your word to speak to us. Thank you for telling us that you love us lots and lots, no matter what we do, no matter what happens to us. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us so that we can be loved by you forever and ever. We pray that everyone here will know just how much you love us. And if there's anyone here who doesn't know you yet, we pray that even now you will touch their hearts so that they will want to be loved by you. Whether we're kids or adults, we are all your children. Thank you for being our loving Father. And may we always, always know that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from your love. Amen.